Did you realize that when they were singing and then we were standing in worship, did you know we just joined what was already in process in heaven? How many knows ceaselessly in heaven they're saying, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Isn't that wonderful? We join heaven in our worship. Praise the Lord. Thank you, choir, for that encouragement tonight. Now, Brother Bill has put pressure on me to get you out of church in time so you can go take a look at that moon. I don't know if you saw it this morning. It was rather huge this morning. Amen. That has absolutely nothing to do with what I'm going to preach about tonight. If you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 3, we're looking at the Word and preparing our hearts for revival. On Wednesday evening, we're on the Beatitudes. And I know you don't have a lot of time, but if you weren't here, if you wanted to prepare your heart for revival, you could listen to that lesson on blessed are they that mourn. And one of the greatest needs of our land and our church is to once again mourn over sin, mourn over wickedness. God has always responded to that when his people mourn over the conditions of that sin leaves in people's lives. I want to read a little bit of this tonight to give us the context of what we're going to talk about. Appreciate you as a church and your love for the Lord, your dedication to his word. This is Sunday evening, and I only feel gratitude when I see folks coming out in force on Sunday night because they love the Lord. And I know it's a love for the Lord. I know nothing of it has to do with the deal that if I preach a little long on Sunday morning and I'll cut it in half on Sunday night, you're just here to get your bargain. I know it doesn't have anything to do with that. And I kind of put a pastor in a hard place because I was preaching, it was getting a little long at another church, and I just told him, I said, come back tonight, and I told him what the deal is. And so he was going to have to preach half as long that night because I wasn't going to be there. I was leaving, so that's not really fair. Amen. Would you stand for the reading of God's word, Acts chapter 3. One of my favorite, I don't know if there's photos in heaven or paintings, but if there were, this would have to be one of them. This is a great story. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, that's 3 p.m. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. They laid him there to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, this is one of the most well-known lines in Christendom, but Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I'm not going to attempt to give an exposition of this passage tonight. Neither am I going to take the usual path that is preached from this, and those are both wonderful things. I just want to share a very different thought. You'll see it in my title. But when I see this story, when I read this story, here's the title. Here's what I see. I see the Spirit behind the scenes. The Spirit at work behind the scenes. I want you to think about that because I'll give you a little challenge in a moment about this passage. But that's the tack I want to take tonight. The Spirit behind the scenes. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, I'm going to talk about you, and I pray that you would anoint me to speak of you. Anoint me to share, Lord, your power and your might and your working. Lord, put a challenge in our hearts that there just be this almost a nagging hunger to see you work and to see you move. Lord, bless your people with a spiritual hunger. There's no greater blessing than to be spiritually hungry. Lord, bless your people with a spiritual hunger, Lord, in every age in this place. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You can be seated. In a moment, I'm going to explain my title, but this week I went out to do a home repair, and I didn't know what the job would entail, so I showed up in my uniform, you know. That's my dress clothes that I wear every day to visit and everything. So I met this lady, and I went in to see what the job entailed. And I went home, and I got my tools, and I changed clothes. And my work clothes, you know, they're got paint on them and grease stains and everything like that. And so I showed back up, and when I rang the doorbell and she opened the door, she looked at me like she didn't recognize me. And she said, "You changed." And I answered, "Yes, these are my work clothes." Like she couldn't figure that out. I said, "These are my work clothes." I got to thinking about this because whomever first said this meant no respect. But did you know the Holy Spirit is God in his work clothes? Don't you think about that? The Holy Spirit is God in his work clothes. The Holy Spirit is God at work. Amen. I'm not speaking of the person of his nature. I'm speaking of the action, the function of his nature. The Holy Spirit is God at work. And yet, having told you that, I don't know if you have ever noticed this story recorded in Acts chapter 3, but have you ever noticed that the Holy Spirit is not once mentioned in this chapter? Maybe I missed it. Maybe you need to check it out for me. But read through this chapter of a tremendous miracle. Read, look up Ghost for Holy Ghost, Spirit, and you will not see the Spirit mentioned one time in this chapter. You know, it's going to seem odd, but I want to call your mind to the book of Esther. How many has ever recognized something extremely unique about the book of Esther when God uses her to save his people from death? How many has ever noticed something unique about it? What is it? Not one time does it mention God, the name of God, or a synonym. And you know, of course, it was inspired of God. What happens when we read the book? The absence of his name contrasts so starkly with what's going on that we see even more clearly that God is at work in the book of Esther, even though his name is not mentioned. And even though in this chapter the Holy Spirit is not mentioned by name, when we read this story, we understand in a hurry that the Spirit is at work. And that's why what is happening is happening. It's because the Spirit is. It wasn't just humans deciding things. It wasn't just human events taking place, but behind it all, behind the scenes, the Holy Spirit is at work. I've made mention before that the titles weren't originally in the Bible, but most Bibles, when they're published, when you come to the book of Acts, they have this full title, The Acts of the Apostles. Did you know that's really a misnomer? Because there were other than apostles that worked miracles in the book of Acts. There were other than the apostles that did the preaching. Even the lay people spread the gospel, if you want to call it lay people. They spread it. So really it's a misnomer to say it's the book of Acts. Did you know a more accurate title is the Acts, not of the apostles, but the Acts of the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. I'm trying real hard not to go down a lot of different trails that I'm wanting to stick right strictly with my theme tonight. But when you read the book of Acts, you're seeing the Holy Spirit at work. Sometimes you see him mentioned. Sometimes you don't. But whether he specifically mentioned or not, you can rest assured those things that happened as recorded in the book of Acts, it was the Spirit at work behind them. Amen. And so when we look at the story we're about to look at, we conclude in a hurry that everything that happened had to be contributed to the Holy Spirit. This is Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came and fell. Acts chapter 3, he's not mentioned, but he's at work. Now let me tell you, we can tell, and I'm going to give you just a few things. I told you I'm going to take a different direction on this. But first of all, we can see the Holy Spirit is at work in the giving. In the giving. I read you the story, but Peter and John are going to pray. As they get too close to the gate, about to go into the temple, there's a man there asking for alms. And as he begins to beg, that's what he was. He was a beggar. He was begging. Suddenly Peter stopped, put on the brakes, and commanded that beggar, "Look on us." The man looked at them expecting that Peter was going to drop a nickel in his cup. But Peter didn't drop anything. Peter said, "Listen, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And Peter took him by the hand and lifted that man up. Now, I want to ask you, you know, Peter and John, it's very clear here that many times they went into the temple. It's clear that. In fact, let's pause there for just a moment. It said they were on their in the way to into the temple to pray. You know, we must connect those dots that they were on their way to prayer meeting and a man is healed. Those things don't happen in parallel. They don't happen without association. We must connect those two things. They were on the way to pray and a man is miraculously healed. Amen. It's not just they were on their way to pray and that logistically put them geographically in a location where their path would cross with this man so that they could speak to him and heal them. It's not that. It's the fact that they were on their way to prayer meeting to pray that their minds and their attitudes and their hearts were as such that the Spirit could speak to them. The Spirit could talk to them. The Spirit could use them. And we must be instructed that this wasn't a one-time thing. It indicates that prayer meeting was an inextricable part of their lives. It was their practice. It was their pursuit. They hadn't even got to the prayer meeting yet. But because it was their custom, because it was their habit, it was that attitude of prayer, amen, that put them in the frame of mind that the Holy Spirit could use them as instruments of a miracle. How many knows prayer will do that for you? It changes your perspective and your outlook. That's why on the eve of this revival, prayer is so important. But I was talking about the Spirit at work to make this happen. Amen. And I'm speaking specifically this moment. When the Spirit is at work, folks start giving. I'm not talking. I'm not here to take an offering. I'm not talking about offering. I'm talking about giving spiritually. The Spirit's at work. Now think about this. Many times Peter and John had to pass that man. Amen. In Gate Beautiful. Many times they had to walk right by him. Why didn't Peter ever say this to him before? And did you notice that Peter does something you don't do with a beggar? I don't know if you've ever given to a beggar anywhere, but you know, you never just stop and stare him in the eyes. And you know, if you give to a beggar, you just throw something. You get rid of it in a hurry and walk on. And I know the heaps have been around a lot of beggars on the mission field, but it's not something you just stop and start a conversation with. You're moving on. Amen. Peter hadn't done this before. It's not the custom to do this. Why is it that all of a sudden Peter stopped and said, "Look on us"? Who's going to say that to a beggar? In fact, you try to avoid eye contact with a beggar, don't you? You really do. And so what compelled Peter to say to that beggar, "Look on us"? I'll tell you what it was. It was the Holy Spirit. Peter hadn't done that before. Other people didn't do it. But the Spirit quickened something in Peter's heart and mind. And Peter, though it was unique, not something he would normally do, he said to the man, "Look on us." So there was the work of the Spirit in that Peter began to see that man as he had never seen him. He looked at that beggar like he had never looked at him before. That was the work of the Holy Spirit. And then for him to say to that beggar, look on us. Now I'll tell you something else. Do you think Peter was planning that morning? I'll tell you what, I'm going to try this out. Let me think of something really spiritual sounding to say to a beggar. And today if I encounter one, do you think he planned out what he's going to say? I don't believe he planned it out at all. I believe he didn't even know it was coming out of his mouth. He said, look, and then notice, if this isn't the Holy Spirit, this is presumptuous. If this isn't the Holy Spirit, amen, this is making things up. Peter looked at that man and he said, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Who's going to say that of their own self? I tell you why he said get up and walk. Amen. He said it because the Holy Spirit compelled him to say it. But I want you to realize what Peter said. I don't have gold to give, but I've got something to give. I'll tell you, when the Holy Spirit begins to move in our hearts and lives and minds, we will have something to give. We'll have something to give to the hurting. We'll have something to give to the confused. We'll have something to give to the lost. That's why we're praying for revival. Holy Spirit, move on. I'll tell you, when the Holy Spirit begins to move, God's people will begin to give. How many wants to be a recipient of the Spirit in such a way as you begin to give to folks into their hurting? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. I believe that this will happen when the Spirit moves upon anyone. We got children right here front and center. We got young people. We got ever age. But I think the result is the same when we really let the Spirit of God move in our life. We'll begin to give out to others. It'll cause the church to be the church. It'll cause us to have church. It'll cause the church to grow. And I know this is an odd way to apply this tonight, but I believe the Spirit moves on us that we might have to give. I want you to go back one chapter in your minds. Peter and John, but the 120, they are on the receiving end. The Holy Spirit is poured out. The Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. But what happened once they were filled with the Spirit? They begin to give out of the Spirit. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. What's he going to give? He's going to give what was poured out on him and filled him. Now he's giving it to somebody else. Oh, hallelujah. In a sense, it was the power of the Spirit that Peter had to give. Could I tell us tonight, God has chosen us as his people to be channels. He's chosen us to be conduits. He's chosen us to be instruments of his Spirit. I think it's sad, but many so often, even as believers, would you hear me across the house? Many so often, as even as believers, they're absorbed only in themselves. Church becomes about themselves, their troubles, their feelings. Their life is about themselves. And it's usually because they have stopped letting the Spirit move on them. Because when the Spirit moves on them, you start looking at the beggar. You quit just looking at yourself. You start looking at the beggar. You begin to give out as the Spirit moves upon you. Oh, hallelujah. How many knows when the Spirit moves on us, it's not long till it's moving through us. We begin to become givers. Some are forever receivers. They never come to the place in their Christian walk where they are givers. Did you know that was never Jesus' intention? He did say, come unto me all ye that are thirsty and drink. But what did he also say? For out of your belly, your innermost being, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But when Jesus was glorified, the Spirit was given, and Jesus said, out of your innermost being would flow would flow. We're not just receptacles to receive and receive and receive. Amen. He wants to fill us with the Spirit that we might be givers. Hallelujah. How many knows that'll happen when we get to full of the Spirit? He begins to move. We begin to give. At lunch, once again, for some reason, I begin to think of the Dead Sea. Did you know there's no place like the Dead Sea over there in Israel on planet Earth? It is the lowest geographical spot on planet Earth. Did you know when you come to the surface of the Dead Sea, the shore, it's already 1,400 feet below sea level at the shore? And did you know its deepest part is 1,200 feet? 26, the lowest part of the Dead Sea is 2,600 feet below sea level. I think it's like something like 30, up in the 30% of salt. Did you know there's no living thing? You've heard this before. There's no living thing in the Dead Sea. How many knows all those things? Amen. That grass won't grow in it. That water grass, aqua grass. Amen. I mean, I know there's a few microorganisms that live there, but no fish. Nothing lives there. Amen. Why? Because it's so low. There's no outlet, and the Jordan River runs into it, and a few other little what we would call creeks run into it, but there's no outflow. It's receiving, and no outflow. Amen. People who make it about themselves, they're soon miserable. They lose the life, the spiritual life. There's no outflow. That was never God's will. That would be a Dead Sea. It was His will that we be like, I know they've taken them out, but like a dam on a river. Amen. First behind the dam fills up. When it's full, amen, then it spills over the dam. That's what the Spirit wants to do to us. He wants to give us. Yes, He does. Fill us up. But He wants there to be a time when it's spilling over the dam and we have something to give. Amen. I may not sound spiritual, but how many just like to say, I don't want to be a Dead Sea. And not only was, when the Spirit moving, was there giving, there was receiving. I told you it wasn't all about receiving, but it is. There has to be a point where people receive. Now, when Peter said, look on us, that man looked on Peter and John. Now, I want you to think, in a moment, Peter's going to reach down and take him by the hand. Did you know that man had choices? He's no robot. That beggar, when Peter said, look on us, he could have refused to look at him. He could have turned his head, oh, this is whatever. When Peter reached down his hand to grab that beggar's man's hand and lift him up, that beggar could have pulled his hand back. You know, I've seen God try to help folks. The gospel's being preached and they just turn their eyes. The gospel's saying, look at me. The gospel, they look away. The Holy Spirit reaches out to them to get him by the hand, help him. They just jerk their hand back. This man had choices. And I don't know when it began to happen. I mean, I don't know how many people passed this beggar every day. And I don't know when it began to happen, but at some point, that beggar began to realize something different's going on here. How many believes that? I believe he could hear it in the words of Peter. I believe the atmosphere was charged. You ever been there when the atmosphere was charged? Oh, hallelujah. I mean, there's been times when folks walked into church, they didn't make it out of the foyer. They began to shout. Why? The atmosphere was that man. He had choices. He could have refused for that miracle to take place. But I believe he began to sense by the Spirit. I believe as much as the Spirit was moving on Peter, the Spirit was moving on that man, giving him an expectation that something was about to happen to him. I believe that suddenly this man was interested. I know he didn't understand. And Peter had to say, silver and gold have I none, and all of that. But notice in what Peter's saying, and I preached this years ago, and I'm sure it's not original with me, but it makes a great point. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Even, you know what Peter was saying? He's saying, you're used to folks dropping nickels into your cup, but what I'm about to give you is too big for your cup. Oh, hallelujah. What size cup do you have? I said, what size cup do you have? Revival coming up. How many knows that God just very well may have something to give you that's bigger than your cup? Oh, how many need something that's bigger than your cup? Glory to God. I tell you, one of the things the Spirit will begin to do as He moves on us, Sister Norvell, He'll talk to us saying to us, your cup's too small. Your expectation's too small. Your faith is too small. Amen. I'm telling you, when the Spirit begins to move, all of a sudden we realize size. We need a bigger cup. Hallelujah. Facing this revival, how many wants to lift up a larger cup to the Lord? Such as I have, give I thee. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Is it the silver or gold or God that has your attention? I know we don't trade in the currency of silver and gold, but it can still get our attention, this thing and that of the material world. There came a point by the moving of the Spirit that that beggar was no longer interested in silver or gold. He was interested in what God had to give him. I'm telling you, that happens when the Spirit moves. All of a sudden, I'm not interested in silver and gold, material things, pleasures of this world, the football game that's on. Amen. I'm not interested in that anymore. Why? Because the Spirit's moved, and now I'm interested in what God is going to give me. Amen. Peter took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately, notice this, immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. The Holy Spirit moved, and this man received. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. We forget how wonderful. This man was lame from his mother's womb. He didn't even have the apparatus to walk. I don't know what was missing, bones or sinew or tendons. I don't know what was missing. I do know that if you've never walked, your muscles aren't developed. Everything is atrophied. Amen. But Peter took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he started receiving. He received something in his feet, received something in his ankles. I know it started from the base down. But I'm telling you, when the Spirit gets to move, if we'll lift up a bigger cup, it won't be long till we'll be receiving too. Oh, there ought to be a hunger in our heart. I gotta receive something from heaven. Well, glory to God. He started out the day looking for a nickel, but the Spirit began to move, and it's not long till he's receiving a miracle. Amen. We got to quit looking for nickels. And then, when the Spirit's moving, not only is there giving and receiving, but there was wandering. Wow. I don't need some help. I depend on Brother Brian to be pretty demonstrative. I need a young man that's not afraid to be demonstrative. Now, who would that be? Luke's looking at Grant. One of you get ready to help me. I'll let you figure out who it's going to be. You can just come and stand right down there. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. The Spirit's moving. Look at that. Peter took him by the hand and lifted him. Look, I kept telling myself, I'm not going to mention that. I'm telling you, when it's the Holy Spirit, it's going to be an unmistakable, undeniable, supernatural healing. I've been there when they've claimed divine healings. They lifted them out of the wheelchair, held them up till they got them through the prayer line, claimed that they were healed, and put them back in the wheelchair on the other side. I'm telling you, when God does it, there'll be no mistake. That man that went to the doctor and got x-rays, it showed every bone that was supposed to be there, every bone in place, every sinew, every muscle would have been there, because God did that immediate act. And so here he is. And look what it says. Amen. It said that he began, and these are three things. He began to walk. You can do it and just say, he walked. And then he began to praise God. Could you do those three things just ever so often? Walk. Thank you. Leap. Woo. And then just praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, do it again. Walk. Leap. You can do it at your own command. Praise the Lord. Walk. Leap. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, we're accustomed. Maybe, hopefully, people leave church that way. Where was he headed? He's headed to the temple. Would you like the Holy Spirit to get moving such a way in our homes, in our private prayer times, in our family, that we came to church like that? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, when God really moves, you'll be coming to church. I've never understood. Thank you. You can go do it the other way if you want to. I've never understood it. God will do something for a family, do something for a person. Move mightily. I'm not chasing you. Move mightily into service. Hallelujah. And the next night of revival, they don't even show up. I'm telling you, if God's really done something for you, the first thing in your heart is, I want to be in His presence. I want to be around His people. Oh, hallelujah. I said, when the Holy Ghost gets moving, amen, what happened? Verse 10, and they knew that it was He. Oh, in other words, that crowd that was there, every one of them said, did you see that? We know Him. He's lived around us all His life. We know His mama. We know His daddy. We know His sisters. We know Him. That's a beggar at the gate. Beautiful. Would you look at him? They knew Him. That's important, because they knew what had happened. They knew a miracle had taken place. They knew that it was supernatural. And listen to what it says. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, and all the people ran together unto them in the porch that's called Solomon's, greatly wondering. I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit gets to moving, people start wondering. They're filled with amazement. I know something about these people. These people weren't the church people. By that, I mean, I know they were temple goers. They were Jews. But these weren't the 120. These weren't the band of disciples. These are those who had not yet believed in Jesus Christ. Today, we would call them the unsaved, the unbelievers. But such a moving of the Holy Spirit that the unbelievers are looking on with amazement and wondering. I'm telling you, it's one thing when we, the people of God, we begin to sing, look what the Lord hath done. It's another thing when the Spirit begins to move in such a way that the unbeliever, the unsaved, starts singing, look what the Lord hath done. How many believes God can still move in a way that'll bring amazement? Wonder. That's what happened when the Spirit moved. They ran together with excitement and enthusiasm. Why? They knew this man. They knew no doctor could help him. They knew his parents couldn't help him. They knew it had to be something other than that. I sing to that song as I prepared. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tumble through? God specializes in things called impossible. He'll do for you what no other power can do. We've listened too long to the enemy tell us things are impossible. But suddenly even the unbeliever understands. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. They could tell it was supernatural. Amen. When we lose the moving of the Spirit, we lose our wonder. Sometimes He's moving, we just quit paying attention. I want you to notice what happens, though, because this is important to the last thing. When the people ran together wondering, at first they were looking at Peter and John like they were some great men. And so Peter began to say, call the number on your screen with your love offering of $100 or more, and I'll send you. No, sir. The first thing that Peter and John did was give the credit to Jesus Christ. By the way, that's a mark of a true man of God, a true teacher, a true church, a true revival. Who's getting the credit? Peter said, don't look on us as if by our holiness and power we've made this man whole. He said, I want to tell you how this man's whole. It was His name, through faith in His name. Didn't we sing about it tonight? His name, through faith in His name, that hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. For the faith which was by Him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. You saw it. And then what did Peter begin to do? Brother Quesada, he began to preach Jesus. We've gotten beyond it. We want something else preached. I don't have to tell you, because I don't have the ability to tickle the ear. But I'm telling you, the only message I know is Jesus. Because He's the only one that could have healed the man. Amen. He began to preach Jesus. He said, I'll tell you who made this man walk. You know the man you cried out, crucify him? You know the man you killed, that prince of life? You know him? You know him? He said, I want you to know something. That man you killed, the living God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, he has raised him from the dead. And that's why this man is walking, because Jesus is alive. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit begins to move, it's not long till people begin to understand Jesus is alive. How many of God's people can believe it tonight? Jesus is alive. Peter began to preach, amen, giving Christ the glory. And in his preaching, Peter said, this miracle, through this miracle, God hath glorified his son. I believe we begin to seek. Say, God, this really needs to be done, but do it for your glory. I believe God will begin to do it when he gets the glory. And so what happens? Peter continues to preach, and he begins, like we preached last week, he begins to urge them to repent. So the last thing that happened, or that I want to share, when the Holy Spirit began to move, converting started taking place. People started getting saved. He said in verse 19, repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, he shall send Jesus, which before was preached unto you. Listen, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Unto you first God hath, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. I want you to notice the same spirit, the same occasion that compelled Peter to say to that man, look on me, that compelled Peter to say, silver and gold have I none, that compelled Peter to take his hand and lift him up so that that man is healed, the same Peter that was then compelled by the Spirit to preach Jesus, that same Spirit moves in Peter's heart to give an appeal to those who don't yet know Christ. It's a miracle. It was something to capitalize on for his ministry, to get money. He saw it, and it's all through the book of Acts. He saw it as an opportunity for people to come to know the Lord. I believe that's our heart's desire, and should be, that when we talk about revival and the Holy Spirit, yes, we're talking about things that need to be done in our own life, for our own families. But the end goal that should be in our hearts is that people would come to know the Lord. And I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit began to move, people began to convert. Amen. There was healing that day. There was empowerment to preach. But there was conviction. Conviction. Everything came down to souls getting saved. You have to go to the next chapter, which later mentions the Spirit, but in a different segment of the story. You have to go to the next chapter, verse 4, to find out what happened when Peter got through preaching. He didn't even get to finish his altar call. Did you know that they came and dragged him away and put him in jail for preaching? So people were left to their own. No one there to help pray for him, maybe some of the other disciples. But he didn't get to finish his altar call. But did you know, after they led Peter and John away, the Bible says, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. When the Spirit begins to move, folks begin to get saved. Hallelujah. How many wants to have the Spirit moving? Would you come, whoever's doing the music tonight? Listen, You know, I've been here almost 25 years. You know, my mind works in strange circuits, and I try to keep my mind away from this because it just came to me all of a sudden. But when I begin to think of how to close this up tonight, I thought of an incident that happened right here in this area. And it's kind of humorous, but I'm not telling it to be humorous. I'm telling it to make a point. I don't know how many of you remember this. We were having a Christmas play, and we had the props up across the front, and there was a door right here, and there was a prop here. And it so happened we had a deaf and an interpreter for the deaf sitting right here that night. Do you remember this? Some of you probably have never heard the rest of the story, and Paul Harvey's not here to tell it, so I'm going to tell it. I was standing right here. I forgot even my role. I don't even know why I was standing here in the doorway. And just for a moment, I just leaned my hand on this doorway, and that whole prop came down, the interpreter made a dive for it. If this thing hadn't been here, it would have crushed her. This caught the prop right here. And I'm going to act like I don't remember, but most of you thought, did you see what Pastor Hurst just did? What you don't realize is somebody was sitting in a chair. I believe they were sitting. I don't think they were standing. They were sitting in a chair right here on the platform and slipped off and hit the back of that. But it was simultaneous to my putting my hand. So what everybody saw was, I haven't got to the altar call yet. But anyway, all the congregation saw was me lightly resting my hand on this. And it, they didn't see what was happening behind the scene. I'm telling you, if any word spoken has any effect on anybody, if any song sung has any encouragement, if any word shared between brother and sister has any effect, it's not just that person. Thank God they were a willing vessel. But if anything of power happens, it's the Holy Spirit at work behind. Do you love Him tonight? Don't you want to see the Holy Spirit? Would you stand across me? Lift your hearts and hands. I want you to do something. Would you lift your heart and say, Lord, I want to be a vessel your Holy Spirit can move through. Say it honestly. Just between you and the Lord, I want to be a vessel the Holy Spirit can move through. Just open up your heart. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. 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 So much today is a performance on a stage. I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for the Holy Spirit to move through all of us. Use all of us for His glory. Oh, hallelujah. I know folks are doing their utmost best. I know that. I'm not faulting anybody, from Sunday school teacher to singers to music players to the people of the department. I know this is a great church. You're doing everything you can. You're living godly. You're trying to serve Jesus with all your heart. And all of that is so commendable and so notable. But I'm just saying, even with all of that, what we desperately need is to open up our lives for the Holy Spirit's power at work. Hallelujah. And it doesn't just happen at church. It can happen tomorrow at work. Amen. In the break room, begin to talk to somebody about the need of their soul. And all of a sudden, there's a power at work behind the scenes. Oh, hallelujah. If you're hungry to be a channel of the Holy Spirit, would you come and fill the altars and say, Holy Spirit, use me. Use me, Holy Spirit. Would you do that? Would you come and pray? Oh, I want the Holy Spirit to move through me. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, open up your life to the Holy Spirit. I want to be a vessel. I want to be used.
Tried and true with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary.
Hallelujah. I don't know what needs you have tonight, but let the Holy Spirit be at work. Come on, just open up your heart. Let the Holy Spirit come in and work in you. He'll fill you up, and then He'll flow out of you. Let Him work in your life tonight. Let the Holy Spirit work in your life tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, church, let's seek Him for His move. We're insufficient of ourselves. We need the power of your Holy Spirit. Be at work when we teach in the class. Be at work when we sing the song. Be at work when we pray. Be at work when we read our Bibles. Be at work when we talk with one another. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, church, pray. Holy Spirit, pour yourself through me. Holy Spirit, pour yourself through me. Amen. Some of you, I always say this out of love, but if you're honest, you'd realize that you're becoming a dead sea. You're losing your spiritual life, becoming a dead sea. Oh, you need to pour out. You let Him pour in so you'll have something to pour out. Hallelujah. I don't want to be a dead sea, Lord.